Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Happy Mother's Day to all the women out there. Just want to celebrate you today. Here I am filming online in my kitchen today, and I hope and pray that you aren't in your kitchen doing anything that somebody else is in the kitchen spoiling you today. It's an exciting day to be alive. We've had so much go on this year, and here we are in May and a Mother's Day. And this morning, I just guess I want to share something with you that will spoil you today, and hopefully that you'll be able to digest as the day continues. So let me ask you a question today. 100 years from now, will it even matter that I was born? Quite an interesting question when you think about it. Another question, are the things I'm living for worth Jesus dying for? Why am I here? What am I doing? What kind of influence am I having? What is the legacy that I'm leaving behind for my children and for my family? What does that look like? It's funny, in these times of isolation, it's quite a great time for us to actually stop and to look at our lives and to see what actually really matters. You know, there's a beautiful story of a woman that was worth remembering, and her name was Mary. And Mary wasn't the mother of Jesus. She didn't give birth to anyone who wrote a book in the Bible. Her son was not a disciple. In fact, the Bible actually never mentions that she did any great deed at all. What she did was actually quite insignificant, especially in the day and in the time. So what did she do? She simply washed the feet of Jesus, and she anointed his feet with a very exquisite bottle of oil, a perfume. And she washed the feet of Jesus with this. It was funny because as she was doing it, people looking on criticized her. They ridiculed her. Why would you waste a bottle of Chanel, right, on somebody's feet? What an absolute waste that you are, Mary. Why are you doing this? And it was funny because in the story we read, and it's in Mark 14, verse 8, and Jesus stopped and he just looked and he said this one line, and I want you to remember it today. And it simply says this: she has done what she could. If you read that same verse, Mark 14, 8, in the Message Bible, it says this: she has done something wonderfully significant for me. And it was worth remembering. It wasn't what she didn't do, but it was the significance of what she did do that Jesus noticed. And he said, this is a life worth remembering. Quite powerful. In fact, if you were to ask me, I think that's influence. What does influence look like? Funny, because January 2020, I was looking and trying to find a word for the year. And that those of you who know me, I've preached it at our Gold Coast location. And I also did a video to our INC network of churches on my word for the year, which was influence. And that's all great and cool. But what was funny is right before COVID-19, let me just put it out there, I was walking through this word with my church and with my friends and studying it for myself. And if you look at the word in is, what are you breathing in? What are the things that are influencing your life? Because whatever's going in is what's coming out. Whatever you're inhaling, you are exhaling over other people. Middle part of that word influence is flu. How funny that right now, after I shared this, and it was just literally weeks later that COVID-19, a virus that actually stopped the world. Can I ask you, what virus are you spreading? Mary was spreading a virus with Jesus of a fragrance, a beauty, a thankfulness, a gratefulness. What is the virus that you're spreading on a daily basis? Not just in your workplace, but in your home. When we're all shut in together and there's no place to go, what are you inhaling and what are you exhaling over other people? The last part of that word is ence, E-N-C-E, and it basically means the end result. The end result is what you breathe over everybody that you are in contact with. And it's unseen and it's undetected, but as time goes by, you see the result of what you've put into somebody else down the track. So my question today is, what kind of influence are you having in your life? because sometimes we might feel, especially as mums, especially sometimes as women, especially if you're in the home with three little kids running around like crazy and you're in isolation and there's nowhere for you to go and you feel like my life is just amounting to absolutely nothing, let me tell you today, sometimes it's in the very insignificant things that you can be actually worth remembering. But Jesus, because Jesus looks at that and he goes, she is doing something wonderfully significant for me. I just want to quickly go through a few types of influence, five types of influence that you can have, all of us, men and women in our life. The first one is simply this, it's a prayerful influence. Sometimes you get to the point in your life where all you can do is pray. You have no other option. I don't know what life looks like for you, but sometimes, as C.S. Lewis said, prayer does not change God, prayer changes me. And 1 Samuel talks about a beautiful woman by the name of Hannah. And I love this story because Hannah didn't have an easy life whatsoever. In fact, if Hannah was in isolation, she'd probably be in one of the worst cases you would see, because the Bible clearly says the Lord closed her womb. It wasn't a medical condition. And it wasn't a situation that she was just trying to fight for. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't the Lord closed Hannah's womb. So that's one thing to deal with. But then when the husband has actually got another wife, and this wife can have babies, and these babies are running around the house, and what does the other wife do to Hannah? She teases her continually, harassing her, because she couldn't have babies, but I could. Could you imagine living in a house in that kind of environment? And your heart goes out to a poor woman named Hannah who desperately just wanted a child to give to her husband, yet the second wife could have them. God, what are you doing? What did Hannah do? She did the only thing she knew to do. In her intense pain, she prayed. She prayed. Wow, what a powerful influence. She would go to the temple on a regular basis and she would pray. She went to the temple at one time, so distraught and so full of pain that as she walked in, she was muttering. And the priest Eli looked at her, and again an arrow shot into her heart as Eli said, "Are you drunk? What are you doing here?" If that's not pain on the next level for a woman by the name of Hannah, I don't know what is. But as I look at this story, I see that she was a life that Jesus had his heart and his eye on. And as she prayed in the temple, she said, "God, if you would just open my womb, I will give you this son. I will give you this child. He's all yours." And a miracle took place. God opened her womb and she had a son, and his name was Samuel. And what was Samuel? He was a priest. He was a judge. He was a prophet in Israel. He was a mighty man of God. In fact, read the book. It's a beautiful story. Hannah did what she could. And in her season of her life, all she could do was pray. And can I just tell you, prayer actually does change things. There are some prayers that I'm still praying 20 years later on a regular basis, because I know that the only influence I can have right now in this situation is to pray. Only eternity will fully reveal the influence of a woman who faithfully prays. Second one is this. It's a brave influence. Quote from Brené Brown, "Choose courage over comfort." Look at a young Jewish girl by the name of Esther. The most beautiful story in the Bible is the book of Esther. And what a story it is. Because Esther went from a little girl living in Persia. She was an orphan and raised by a man by the name of Mordecai. And then she ended up being the queen of an empire. So she was living with all the comforts, all the Chanel you could ever want, all the Tiffany, all the oils, the fragrances, the bar. Like, she was living a life of pure comfort, and the king loved her. She was beautiful. She had it all, right? Until a plot came by the man of Haman who was listening, who was Mordecai wouldn't bow down to Haman anyway. I'm trying to make this story short. But anyway, there was an evil plot that took place. It sounds like the queen in her castle, and there was an evil plot that was taking place. And there was an evil plot because basically they wanted to destroy the Jews. And Haman was out to destroy the Jews, and Esther was one of those Jews. And I love this scripture in Esther 4:14 because it's almost like Mordecai comes to Esther. And if you put yourself in that situation, you could imagine Mordecai going, all right, for you, Esther, you're living in your castle. You've got all the money, you've got everything. We're about to go under. We're about to die. And he says this in Esther 14. Mordecai says to her, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all of the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, rescue and liberation will come for the Jews, but from another place. And you and your father's house will perish, since you did not help when you had the chance. And who knows, Esther, if maybe you've been appointed for maybe such a time as this. But I love that line, since you did not help when you had the chance. Wow, they're like almost cutting words for Esther to hear in the comfort of her palace, and she has a decision to make, and the decision could actually cause her to lose her life, and she had to choose, do I choose the comfort of where I'm living right now, or do I step over the line and dare go into the king's presence and ask that he would save my people? And we all know the story. She got the courage to stand up and to face the king and to talk to him. And because of that, God moved, a miracle took place, and the Jews were saved, and she was saved as well. Powerful to be a brave influence. I just wonder, in these uncertain times that we are living in, is God calling you to be brave? Is God calling you in sometimes a moment? You might not have to stand before a king, but you might have to stand beside an unsaved work colleague. You might have to make decisions as a businesswoman or as a businessman where it comes against the comfort of what you know in business, and maybe the godliness that what God is calling you to do, that this decision might be just a little bit ungodly. What should I do? Can I encourage you? Sometimes the most powerful thing you can be in your life in that moment is to choose courage over comfort, and to be brave and allow God to move in your life, to step out and face fear and do it anyway. Esther was a brave influencer. Next one is this, a faithful influence. And I love this story, especially on Mother's Day. And very quickly, it's just simply about, in 2 Timothy, a grandmother and a mother who raised a little boy called Timothy. I love this quote, God does not love us because we are valuable, but we are valuable because God loves us. And there was a faithful influence of Lois and Eunice, a grandmother and a mother that just loved God with all their heart. And Timothy did not have a saved dad. And so they raised Timothy, and that's all they did. Quite insignificant, right? In fact, could you imagine them raising Timothy thinking, what are we doing? We're just doing the mundane every day, day in, day out. But they were depositing into Timothy the faith and the love of Jesus Christ. And they were raising him to be a godly man. Who would ever have thought a grandmother and a mother would be put in the Word of God that in 2020 we read about a Lois and a Eunice who raised a Timothy? And what did Timothy do? He was an amazing man. He was a leader in the church of Ephesus, and Paul wrote about him, dear friends. Incredible. When you think that all I'm doing is raising children, I believe it's one of the highest callings in life that God has for you. And don't ever think it's not. Whatever challenges parenting brings, God promises to help those who set aside other pursuits to raise their children to love and to fear God. There will always be worldly philosophies and pressures that attempt to distract us from the high calling that God has given us as just being a mum. And the world will speak louder and louder, and sometimes it'll speak louder than the Word of God in your life. And it'll tell you need to be doing something that maybe God is just calling you to raise a Timothy. All around us, there are voices like never before, telling us how to raise happy and successful kids. No matter what we listen to, we still feel guilty and we still don't feel like we have done enough. Can I tell you this morning, as mums, from one mum, from a grandma to all the mums out there, you are doing enough. If all you're doing is raising children, then you need to understand, like Lois and Eunice, you are staying faithful to the call of God upon your life. You are depositing into another human being. And who knows where that child will end up, like a Timothy, could be in the history books of life. Lois and Eunice did what they could. It was a life worth remembering. Very quickly, a fragrant influence. And that was Mary. We just talked about her. The perfume, the aroma of a gift has spread throughout every generation, reminding us that a life overflowing with thanksgiving and gratitude spreads a fragrance everywhere. And that's the only reason why Mary anointed Jesus' feet, because you know what? She was so thankful and so grateful of all that God had done in her life. It was a life changed. I love in the book of Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 2:15 to 16, it says this, and it talks about the influence that I was talking about at the beginning of the message. What virus are you spreading? What aroma are you spreading? What comes out of your life? What is the fragrance of your life? Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance because of Christ. We give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those who are on their way to salvation. Sometimes the only influence that you can do is just to be yourself and be so broken and in love with Jesus and knowing what he's done for you, that that's the only thing that comes out of you. Sometimes you can't speak, sometimes you can't act, but sometimes the biggest witness that you can be, that others can see that you're on a road to salvation, is to be grateful and to be thankful for all that God has done in your life. That's all Mary did. You know, there's been many, many times in my life where I have not been able to speak. I remember working in an unsaved environment years ago, and I never once mentioned the name of Jesus. I never talked about it. I never acted. I never told anybody about anything. I was just me doing my job. And it wasn't very long, actually just probably not even 2 weeks, before people started saying to me, work colleagues would say, "Why are you so bleep happy?" Over and over, I've been asked this question. Why are you always so happy? What is it about you? See, there's a fragrance in your life when you have a life that has been touched by the breath of God. And I hope today, if you're listening and your life hasn't been touched by his breath, I pray today that you'll be able to click that button and raise your hand and say, you know what, Jesus, my aroma needs to change in my life. I need you, because you can't do it by yourself. You do get stinky, you do get smelly when you don't have the presence of God in your life. And I pray today that you will be touched by his presence. And lastly, it's the moment by moment influence. I love this, it's just a little saying, it's not by anybody, but it just says this: breathe next to me and I will capture a piece of your soul along with mine. If there would be a prayer that's on my heart, it would be the Holy Spirit, that you would breathe inside of me, that you would breathe next to me. Every time I speak, I go into Holy Spirit gear. Come on, Holy Spirit, come with me. Breathe over my life. And as I walk out the doors of my house, in whatever I do, whoever I see today, let the breath of God come out of me and let it be an influence in the world around me. It's the moment by moment. And understand that wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, every time you open your mouth, every time you walk, wherever you are going, whether you're in the kitchen, the lounge room, whatever you are doing, you are influencing the people around you. Your body language influences, your voice influences, you influences. And it's by the breath of God that we should declare that Jesus is Lord in our lives, that we would actually declare that to other people. Are you living intentionally? Mindful that every moment is a gift and it's an opportunity to know, love, and to serve a living God? Are you ready to give an answer when someone asks the reason for your hope in these uncertain times? Do you count it a privilege to encourage and equip another person to live for God? Are you ready when someone asks you, why are you so happy? And are you ready with an answer in the moments when you're getting your coffee, when you're sitting at a meal with your loved ones? Are you ready to make the moment-by-moment influence count in your life? It's all about doing what you can. And that is the power of influence. I want to leave you with just a little story. It was actually something I read on Facebook, and I think it's quite powerful. And it just simply says this: have you ever noticed in the Bible that men are always the one going up into the mountains to commune with the Lord? Yet in scriptures, we hardly ever hear of women going to the mountains. And as women, we all know why, right? Because the women were too busy keeping life going. They couldn't abandon babies or meals or homes or fires or gardens and 1,000 other responsibilities to make a climb up into the mountains. And as modern women, we can feel like we are never free enough from our responsibilities, never in a quiet enough place or a holy enough spot to have the type of communion that we would actually really like with God. And that is exactly why God comes to women. He comes to men too. But for Mother's Day, that's why God comes to women. Men have to climb the mountain to meet God, but God comes to women wherever they are at. You see, he meets them at the wells where they draw water for their families, in their homes, in their kitchens, and in their gardens. He comes to them in sick beds as they give birth, care for the elderly, and perform necessary mourning and burial rites. Even at the empty tomb, Mary was the first to witness Christ's resurrection. She was there because she was doing her womanly chore of properly preparing Christ's body for burial. It's in these seemingly mundane and ordinary tasks that these women of Scripture found themselves face to face with divinity. So if, like me, you start to bemoan the fact that you don't have as much time to spend in the mountains with God as you like, remember that God comes to women and he knows where we are and the burdens we carry. He sees us, and if we open our eyes and our hearts, we will see him, even in the most ordinary places and in the most ordinary things. As we close today, can I just say that in your moments, as you walk out into your day today, whatever that looks like for you, I pray that if all you can do is pray, then be like Hannah and influence your world for good by praying. Maybe it's a time to step out and be brave. Maybe it's time to have a conversation that you've been just too afraid to have. Maybe today's the day to step over the line and be an Esther and choose courage over comfort and do it in the face of fear. Or maybe for you, it's just the faithful day in, day out, mundane task of raising a child like Lois and Eunice did. And to all the single mums out there, I want to honor you from the bottom of my heart today, because it's tough and it's not easy. But what you don't understand is that you are being a faithful influence, and God looks at that as you do all you can. And he says, you have done a wonderfully significant thing for me. I pray your moment-by-moment influence today would look like something that's fragrant and beautiful, touched by the breath of God. And right now, as we come to a close, can we just pray? And if you're watching online today, and if you've just logged in and you just think, you know what, Kathy, I'd love to have that breath of God in my life. I'd love to know Jesus for who he really is, because he's very real. And he just wants to come and live with you and walk with you in your everyday life and make it just so much better, because it gives you hope and it gives you a purpose and something. It gives you influence, something to worth living for. Can we just pray? Father, today, in the name of Jesus, on this beautiful day, as we celebrate women, as we celebrate mums, I pray today that we would influence our world for good. I pray today that we would start to spread a virus. There's been a bad virus that has shut down the world, but Jesus, in it, you are so Lord of it. You so know what you're doing, and maybe for a season we've stopped simply so that you can speak to our hearts. And right now, in this short moment of time, I pray we take the moment, and I pray, Father, that we would touch people's lives by who we are. and that for those who are searching and want to know more about you, Father, I pray that you touch them where they're at right now, in their homes, wherever they may be as they watch this screen, that the presence of God and your Holy Spirit would do only what you can do. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.